Yeah, they look good.
Okay, we're up.
A very good evening to you and welcome to the October 4th, 2021 regular meeting of Orrville City Council. We'll begin this evening with prayer with Pastor New Brenman from the Hope Christian Center.
Thank you, Mr. President. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your interest in each of our lives, for your interest in peace and abundant life for this city. Lord, I recognize you as creator, giver of life, not one who brings sickness and pestilence. You are our shelter. You are our source of health. You are our protection. I pray for those dealing with sickness. Would you touch them with healing? Give the caregivers wisdom in caring for them. Lord, protect the people of Orrville from sickness. And I pray for these leaders, these city leaders, Lord, would you bring health, strength, and wisdom? Would you give them insight? Would you bless and guide the proceedings of this meeting and the work that goes on from here? Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Pastor Berman. Clerk, please call the roll.
Hamburg.
Here.
Asparis.
Here.
Larson.
Here.
Mosley.
Here.
Foy.
Here.
Widmer.
Here.
Wilson.
Mr. Wilson is excused this evening. And you should have received a copy of the September 20th minutes of the previous city council meeting. Do we have a motion to approve those minutes?
A motion to approve, sir.
Mosley motions.
I'll second that.
Larson seconds.
Asparis.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Foy.
Yes.
Widmer.
Yes.
Wilson. No. Handwork.
Yes.
All eyes motion passes.
Thank you. We have no public comment scheduled for this evening, and so we'll move on in our agenda to standing committee reports. And we begin with our Parks and Recreation Committee and Mr. Hedworth. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Mr. President. Thank you. Parks and Rec has not met, therefore I have no report. However, we do have a meeting scheduled for next week, which is October 11th. And last Thursday, we had our comprehensive park plan meeting at Schmidt Hall to gather some ideas for our plans. And I would just like to say thanks to anyone that came out. We had a pretty good showing. We had a range of ideas from BMX biking to Frisbee golf. So there's a lot of really cool stuff that came out of that. If someone was not able to make it, I would ask them to go ahead and email me any ideas they have as well.
All right.
That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. And our utility committee, Mrs. Ford.
Good evening, Mr. President. The utilities committee has not met, so I have no report tonight. Just to confirm what time that 10-11 meeting was for Parks and Rec.
We have it for 7 p.m. and we're aware that the utilities board is going to meet at, I think, the wastewater treatment
right.
plant, so you may be late to that.
Yeah.
That's fine. So whatever you need to do that evening is understandable.
Okay.
Very good. Our Ordinance and Personnel Committee, Mr. Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Ordinance and Personnel has not met. However, I had requested an executive session for tonight's meeting to discuss a personnel matter. I would like to postpone that executive session until our next meeting on October 18th because some key personnel that need to be part of that discussion were not available for tonight.
Very good. And just to make sure we adhere to Robert's Rules of Order, we will request a motion to amend the agenda at that time.
Sounds good.
All right, very good. Our Transportation Committee, Mr. Mosley, good evening.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President. Transportation Committee has not met. There is something that we have on the agenda today. It's Resolution 3921. Just given State Service Director permission to go ahead and apply for the OPWC grant/loan. Last year, we were actually approved for $507,000. We are seeing that funding is kind of tight at that level. We're hoping to apply for $200,000 for the OPWC. The streets of focus currently are Smucker Street. That's high to market. Currently, that's rated at a 48 out of 100. Hemlock Trail, that's South Elm to the end of that, that's rated at 58. And then South Ellis Street, that's Market to Jefferson, that's rated at 57. The estimated cost for all three of those streets are $525,000. We're hoping to obviously get that $200,000 grant, and then obviously using capital funds for the rest of that. I do request that council, if there's a street, you know, somewhere around the vicinity of your home, to reach out so we can possibly make that a priority to get that street repaired or fixed. I'm pretty pleased with the conditions of our street now. I know at one point we were working at, you know, streets that were graded at 30s and the 40s, and for us to be dealing with streets, you know, that's 48 and 58, I think that's pretty darn, it's pretty darn good. But I do plan on, once we hear back, to determine if we get that 200 some thousand, I do hope to have a meeting at that point to kind of have a priority and see which streets we actually want to attack. And with that, I have nothing else, Mr. President.
All right. Thank you very much. Our Health and Safety Committee, Mr. Spiras.
Thank you, Mr. President. Health and Safety has not met. I have no report for tonight, sir.
Thank you very much, sir. And our Planning Committee, Mrs. Whitmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Planning Committee has not met, so I have no.
We have no report then from Mr. Wilson. No special committee reports on our agenda either tonight, and so we'll move on to our administrative reports, and we'll begin with Mayor Hanworth.
Thank you, Mr. President. I wanted to mention that our census numbers finally have been put out there. The number for this past census is 8,452 for Oroville, which is still kind of hard to believe. We thought we'd be closer to 9,000. We've kind of fluctuated in that area, though, for the last 20 years. In 2000, the census was 8,500 and something. I didn't have that exact number. 2010, we dropped to 8,300 and something, and now we're at 8,452. So I guess from 2010, we have climbed a little bit. But as I said, we've just stayed in that area for 20 years now. So we'll see what happens the next time. This is Public Power Week, and as usual, I have a proclamation to read for that. We did celebrate Public Power Week this morning with an outage that some people had, but I can guarantee you that the squirrel that caused that will never do it again, so we won't have to worry about that one anyway. The proclamation reads as follows. Whereas we, the citizens of Oroville, place high value on local control over community services, and therefore have chosen to operate a community-owned, locally controlled, not-for-profit electric utility. And as consumers and owners of our electric utility, we have a direct say in utility operations and policies. And whereas the Oroville Utilities provides our homes, businesses, churches, schools, farms, social service, local government agencies with reliable, efficient, and cost-effective electricity, employing sound business practices designed to ensure the best possible service at not-for-profit rates. And whereas Oroville Utilities is a valuable community asset that contributes substantially to the well-being of local citizens through energy efficiency, customer service, environmental protection, economic development, and safety awareness. And whereas Oroville Utilities is a dependable and trustworthy institution whose local operation provides many consumer protections and continues to make our community a better place in which to work and live. Now therefore be it resolved that the Oroville Utilities will continue to work to bring lower cost, safe, reliable electricity to community homes and businesses just as it has since 1917, the year when the utility was created to serve all citizens of Oroville. And be it further resolved that the week of October 3rd to the 9th, 2021 will be designated as Public Power Week in order to honor Oroville Utilities for its contributions to the community and to make its consumers, owners, policymakers, and employers more aware of Oroville Utilities' overall contributions to their well-being. And be it further resolved that our community joins hands with more than 2,000 other public power systems in the United States that through consumer ownership entire cost-cutting service for electricity customers. Therefore, I, David T. Hanworth, Mayor of the City of Oroville, Ohio, do hereby proclaim the week of October 3rd and 9th, 2021 as Public Power Week. And as I joked a little bit about that this morning, we certainly are fortunate to have our public utility that we have. Those outages don't come very often. When they do come because of a tree limb down or an accident with a pole or something like that, our guys are out there very quickly to get those fixed. There's not usually very many times where people are out for an extended length of time. And so we appreciate all that they do. And that also, you know, we talk about the electric utility, but we have our water and wastewater too that sort of get left out of the conversation sometimes, but we certainly appreciate all that those folks do for us too. And that, Mr. President, is all I have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And then we'll move on then to our Safety Service Director, Mr. Wheeler.
Thank you, Mr. President. The OPWC project continues. North Star is finishing up the basin and curb work on North Walnut in West Paradise. They are expected, weather permitting, of course, to start grinding the asphalt either late this week or early next week. And as we know, once that gets rolling, the asphalt intermediate and then final overlay is fairly quick thereafter. So we appreciate everyone's patience working through the construction areas and all the residents that are impacted by it as well and their patience. The camera project continues. We're up to 32 cameras that are installed and operational, and they are still on schedule to be completed in the next 2 to 3 weeks. The leaf pickup and compost center update. The compost center is open through the end of October on Wednesdays and Saturdays. Wednesdays from 7:15 a.m. to 11:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. to 3:15 p.m. And then the Saturday hours are 8 a.m. to 12 noon. We will continue the Saturday hours through November for anyone that wants to drop off their leaves. As everyone knows, our leaf pickup starts in November, but some folks prefer to go ahead and do their own, which we are okay with. So it is open on Saturday, same hours, 8 a.m. to noon, except for November 27th, with this, which is the Thanksgiving weekend. The citywide leaf pickup, as I mentioned, does start in November. We will start on the south end of south of Market on November 1st through November 12th. And, of course, if they finish earlier, then they just bounce over to the north end. But the north end is scheduled for November 15th to the 24th. And then the final pass through of November 29th to December 10th for both the north and the south sides. Also, today the police department had a very cool ceremony. They presented Drayden Williams, who is the young man that had the stroke at the high school a month or so ago, with a Miles Garrett jersey as part of the Shop with the Cop program. He was, I think, pleasantly surprised, and it was a good timing as the Browns are winners for a change, so that's always nice. And we do wish him the best of luck, but we appreciate the police department's efforts on that as well. And that's my report for today.
All right, thank you. Our Utilities Director, Mr. Brenniger.
Thank you, Mr. President. As the Mayor mentioned, this is Public Power Week, and I just want to thank all of our employees who do all the things that they do that make Oroville and a good place to work and a great place to do business. We did conduct some emissions testing on our coal-fired units last week as part of our federal operating permit. We'll get those results back later on in the month. In the water department, we did complete some more temporary repairs on the tie-ins that we made north of Crown Hill about a week and a half or so ago. Apologize, those repairs took a little bit longer than we expected them to, trying to line up contractors and certainly trying to line up economical contractors these days is a little bit more challenging than it has been over the years. Just to update this group, we've been talking a little bit over the past month with concerning our Prairie State project. We had a longer meeting last Monday with the board. As I talked last time, the Illinois State Legislature was proposing a bill that was targeting the shutdown of all their coal and natural gas units in their state. The governor of Illinois did sign a bill on September 15th. They are they had two tiers of shutdown. Any municipal coal plants will be required to reduce their emissions by 45% by 2035, and if in that case, that's about half of that's one unit out at Prairie State, and if those are not met, that will result in a some modifications to production, possibility of a shutdown. It has to be zero emissions by 2045. Zero emissions means no units most likely will not be in service. They did, they have a similar glide path for any municipal natural gas generators out there. There's just two, the Prairie State Project and the Springfield Municipal. The investor-owned private coal and private natural gas systems are under even a tighter time frame. They're shutting down all their coal plants, or required to shut down all their coal plants by 2030, and all their natural gas plants will be offline by 2045. Just to put that in perspective, we have about 9% of our energy coming from Prairie State. Not a lot, but still 9%. And we have debt on that plan out to 2048. So that debt extends past right now the potential shutdown in 2045. So the other six owners, as well as the roughly 40 AMP members that own a 25% of that share, are looking at some options on that to just see how we're going to deal with that. So stay tuned on that. Basically, what will be left in the state, there are three nuclear stations that are owned by one entity out there that currently serves a little bit over half the energy. And the balance will be coming from renewables, which today is only about 10%, and they'll be importing the rest. What those imports are comprised of, as far as where that energy is generated from, there's a good chance that's not all going to be renewable, but the state's goal at the end of the day is nuclear and renewables. So we wish them the best of luck in all of that. But as far as you know, the impacts of that, that project potentially closing before the debt's paid off is still something that we'll be looking at and evaluating some options and discussing with our board here in the future. Just a couple other items. Last week, the mayor and I and some of our staff and the generation plan and distribution attended AMP's annual conference. Orville was elected to another three-year term on the AMP Board of Trustees. I was also elected to serve as chairman again. And our power plant and distribution departments that receive safety awards, these are for zero lost time over the course of the year. That's roughly 250 to 300,000 man hours in each department that went without reportable accident last period. So you know, great testament to what's going on there. We received several federal and legislative briefs talking about the power market, progress that's being made, and interest in the electric vehicle markets also. Just the last note, the mayor did hint towards this, but this month we will be holding our utility board meetings at the wastewater plant on October 11th. Next Monday night, we'll be meeting at the wastewater plant at 6:30, having the regular board meeting, and we'll have a brief tour of that facility, and it'll also give the board a chance to meet our new wastewater treatment superintendent. And on October 25th, we'll be meeting at 6:30, a regular board meeting at the water plant. Again, conduct the regular meeting, have a brief tour after that, and that'll give the board and anybody that's interested there an opportunity to meet our new water superintendent. So we have two new gentlemen that have taken place of Mr. Fetty and Mr. Auden, who retired back in July. Last note, I just wanted to remind you, it's not cold yet, but it's going to be getting there pretty soon. The city's natural gas aggregation program, if you recall, we entered into a two-year deal on that. That continues this year, so if you are happy with those rates, which I think everybody should be right now, you don't have to do anything. That current rate is presently $3.05 an MCF. You cannot touch that rate on the Public Utilities Apples to Apples website right now. Natural gas is just up in a unusual high spot for the past couple months and is expected to remain there. I checked the site today and there is nothing close to having a one-year fixed, no strings attached deal to it. There's some variables, ones in there for 2 months or 3 months, but nothing that's close to $3.05. They're all hovering around the $4 range. So if you're currently enrolled in the program, you don't have to do anything. If you want to switch, October is generally the time period when you can switch. You can enroll with our aggregation program at any time. You can drop out of it at any time without any penalty. So if you have any questions on that, you can check our website. There's more details on that. And that's all I have tonight, Mr. President. Thank you very much.
Yes, Mr. Ward.
Just a couple quick questions, Jeff. First of all, congratulations on your election as AMP chair again.
Thank you.
Continue with the great representation for us. And I wanted to share with my colleagues, too, those tours to the water plant and the wastewater treatment plant are awesome, especially for you new folks, the newer folks on council. It's a really neat opportunity to see what we really get for our money being a public utility. Then the third question is the original commission of the Prairie State project. When was that supposed to end? We know that it's scheduled now to end in 45, right?
That's when the plant was commissioned in 2012, the summer of 2012. The units went in early summer and late summer there. But that that project was meant to last beyond the debt service on the plant. So those plants are 40, 50, 60 year investments.
Okay.
But we have a mortgage on the plant through 2048.
Right.
That's just where our bonds that we took out on that project ends. Now it's not the end of the project at that time. It's just like paying off your car or your house. You're living with a lot lower rental fees there. But it was not our intention, nor any of the other owners' intentions in that plant, to retire that plant once the debt service is paid off. And depending on the other owners, they have different debt structures set up. We have multiple bonds out on that Prairie State plant. Unfortunately, a majority of those are those Build America bonds that you've heard me talk about way too many times already. And a majority, 50-60% of our bonds are in those Build America bonds, which, as you're aware, the government's been clawing back on those interest rates, so we're paying a little bit higher interest on that project than we were in the very beginning. And we're still working with with the federal government on that. We've actually had a lawsuit against them, along with some other owners on that. So yeah, the plan was meant to go a lot longer past the time when the mortgage was paid off.
Right.
Governor had a different idea in mind.
Okay.
Now this is nothing's over until it's over. Again, there's a number of other options that the owners are looking at, technical options, legal options beyond that. But this was a state mandated bill. This was not driven by the federal government, not driven by the EPA. This is the direction that the governor was adamant about pushing. And supporting the nuclear facilities they have and promoting more renewables within the state for their customers.
Okay. Thank you.
Answer your question?
Yep.
Okay.
Very good. Any other questions? We'll move on then to our finance director, Ms. Strimling.
Thank you, Mr. President. Finance has no report this evening.
Thank you very much. We'll move on then to our law director.
Thank you, Mr. President. Likewise, I have no report this evening.
All right. Thanks very much. Just a quick update. We've been talking about enhancing our video capabilities here for a long while now, but I did get a quote from the hardware side of things. I felt like he overshot our requirements a little bit. Nice try. But anyway, I'm going to be working on that list with our IT folks, and we'll pare that down. And then I'd like to just meet with the administration just to discuss that with them, and then we'll be coming to you, and we'll talk that over with you guys as well, perhaps later this month or next month. That's my report, and then we'll move on. On our agenda, we have no old business for this evening, and so we move to new business.
Thank you, Mr. President. Resolution number 3921. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second.
Second, Mr. Mosley.
Morrison.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Foy.
Yes.
Whitmer.
Yes.
Handwerk.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
Resolution 3921, a resolution authorizing the Safety Service Director to prepare and submit an application to participate in the Ohio Public Works Commission State Capital Improvement Program for grant or loan funds and or agreements as required to obtain said funds and declaring an emergency.
Very good. Who'd like to comment on this, Mr. Wheeler? Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Mosley.
This is what I talked about earlier about the $200-some thousand. Like I said, we're not 100% sure that we're going to get that. I would like to see this get passed tonight so we can kind of see what we're working with, so we could definitely prioritize and hone in on our streets and projects by the end of November. I believe that's when we kind of knew what we were doing.
Yeah, we'll have a much better feel by then.
Yep. So, I mean, if there's any other, if there's any questions that we have from council colleagues or anything, I'd like to kind of discuss that tonight.
If I could add a couple comments.
Yes.
I do foresee potentially a bigger asphalt overlay project using city funds as well. We'll discuss that as kind of part of our annual capital budget budgeting. So if you only see three streets, we do foresee more streets getting done. Probably do it as part of this OBWC as far as an alternate. That way we can get a pretty good bid on those. I already have a few in mind as well. Also, I thought it was interesting if we're able to get this grant, which, as Mr. Mosley mentioned, we have not gotten the grant twice in the last 17 years. So ratios tell us at some point we won't get it just because everyone else will get their share as well. So so that's partly why we're not real confident of being able to get the grant this year. Also, if we do get the grant, though, we'll have hit the 15 worst-conditioned streets in the last 3 years. So we'll have asphalt overlaid 15 streets in 3 years. As Mr. Mosley mentioned, we'll be now into the 60s ratings in the PCR, which in my tenure here, we've not been doing that well. So obviously some of the streets will not do well through the winter time, so we may not end up in the 60s. But still, we are putting a good dent into the list is where I was going.
And another thing that we have on the radar is we do have Lake Street to Fike up to Orvilla Drive for an additional $150,000. Then also we're hopeful to do a concrete project up on West Market, Crown Hill. That's going to be somewhere $2,600 to $800,000. Like I said, it all depends, you know, what we get funded for as far as grant goes. We've been blessed. We've been spending about $1.7 million in streets total, you know, over what, the past 5 years?
Yes, sir.
Something like that. It's definitely paid off in dividends. So.
Yes.
Are we able to get the PCR report, or is that posted, or is that public access? What does that look like?
I can email that out to everybody. I may have done that. It's been every, I think, 3 years, so I may have done that originally, but yeah, we'll get you a.
We recall you talking about it. I just couldn't remember if we had access to that still.
It's definitely not top secret information.
Yeah. Okay.
But, yeah. It just needs to be updated from last year.
I'll have to see when the next one's coming up. I think that was just done in 2019, so it will be next year when they'll do another one. And it is according to ODOT grading, and Ryan does that with Mike Hammonds, his assistant.
So maybe put that on the Google Drive.
Sure.
And just share it with everyone.
Steve, can you real quick, just for the public, just give us a real brief synopsis of what that rating is, low number, high number, what's good, what's bad.
Well, obviously, yeah. I mean, it's an evaluation of the condition of the asphalt, basically. It evaluates the cracks. It evaluates, if we've done a lot of crack filling over the crack ceiling. I think Smucker's a great example of what you don't want the street to look like. It's time to, definitely time to asphalt overlay that street. It is the worst in the city right now, based on the PCR listing. Basically, it goes out, evaluates the condition of the asphalt, evaluates the amount of cracks, the amount of sealing, and kind of from there scores it.
And the current rating for that street is what?
Just as the rating as of 2019, which I would say is not...
Which street?
Smucker.
It's 48.
Yeah, okay.
48 out of 100. And the PCR grade is actually an ODOT system. I know we have people in-house trained to kind of do it.
Zero bad, 100 good.
Yes, sir. Thankfully, if we have any in the 40s, that's usually one that we try to address pretty quickly. Okay. So.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Any further discussion?
You ready to vote? Idea to suspend the rules?
Given the urgency of this and the fact that we apply for this every year, there's a big long line of applicants as well. We want to get in the queue as early as we can. I move that the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second.
Mosley, second.
Mosley.
Yes.
Foy.
Yes.
Widmer.
Yes.
Handwerk.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
I move resolution 3921 be adopted as read.
Second, Mrs. Foy.
Foy?
Yes.
Widmer?
Yes.
Handwerk?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
Thank you. That concludes our new business for this evening, and so move on our agenda to comments for the good of the order. Does anyone have anything? Very good, then. We also have on our agenda executive session. This is Mr. Larson mentioned earlier. He would like to remove that portion of the agenda for this evening, and so we would need a motion to do that.
I move to remove the executive session from tonight's agenda.
Very good. Larson moves.
Second.
Second, Mr. Spiritz.
Widmer.
Yes.
Handwerk.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Foy.
Yes. All ayes. Motion passes.
Very good. Then all that's left is then I need a motion to adjourn.
I'll move to adjourn.
Morrison moves.
Second.
Widmer second.
Handwerk.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Boyd.
Yes.
Widmer.
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
Thank you. Thanks very much for being here with us this evening. Our meeting is adjourned, and we will meet again on October 4th, 2021. Have a good evening.
It's over 18.
2 weeks from the 4th.
That's what I figured.
The next 4th.
Is this your handwriting or your expert?
It's October 4th. That's the
day. Oh, nice.
It's October 4th, so 2 weeks from the 18th. I'll be back here. I'll be back here.